Hello, and you are listening to FP Cast, the podcast for Fruitless Pursuits, where we bullshit about the week in pop culture. I'm Luke.
I'm Jacinta.
And this week we're talking about
movies, television, collectibles, video games.
Conventions.
Yes. Not like dinosaur conventions.
Or writing conventions. But pop culture conventions.
Mm.
Because Perth, this very weekend, we just left one like about half an hour ago.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And since Oz Comic Con decided to not bother with us anymore, Supernova has been our only comic book convention for this year.
Yes. By that you mean Comic-Con decided not to bother with Perth because Supernova decided not to bother with us last year in terms of being press there.
Oh, yeah.
And we didn't even bother this time because we're old and tired. So we didn't go there to cover it. We didn't go there to interview people or take photos or any of the things that we used to do.
No.
We just went there as consumers.
Yeah.
And we consumed the fuckers out of it, didn't we?
Well, we did today. I think yesterday we were maybe a little bit more restrained. Well, you weren't. You consumed quite a bit on the Saturday. But I think we probably would have bothered with press stuff if there was actually anyone going that we kind of gave a shit about.
It was a interesting mix of really old and really young, wasn't it? Because there's a lot of the young fandoms there for things like Arrow.
And the 100 and stuff like that.
Yeah, things that have just eluded us and anime voice actors and things. And then you have on the other side, you've got Chuck Norris and Richard Dreyfuss and Kathleen Turner, who are all interesting, like, to me as a child of the late 70s, early 80s. But that said, not interesting enough for me to... I don't need to go and have a photo with Kathleen Turner or Chuck Norris or anything like that. They don't have that nostalgic connection to me.
Yeah, I was saying to you in the week that I would have... Because I love the movie Serial Mum. That is one from my sort of teenage years that has really stuck with me. And I thought, I'd love to get her to sign my copy of Serial Mum. But like... She's charging like $50 or something for an autograph. And I'm like, no, I don't want her to sign my copy of Serial Mum quite enough for that.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind, you know, a Jessica Rabbit or picture or something. But I just don't know. No. Mm. No.
There are much better things that I could spend $50 on at Supernova.
I'm kind of old and jaded as well. And actually, the guest thing behind that. And I mean that for everyone. Like, if people go, oh, you know, you're a big fan of Scarlett Johansson or whatever, I have no idea what she's like as a person. I'm not a fan of the person. I don't know the person.
Mm.
I'm a fan of the illusion, what's created. But at the same time, like, with Daisy Ridley, everyone, I like seeing those, like, walking down the street with no makeup kind of. Like, I want to try and figure out what the real person is behind. So I find these things fascinating to see people in their real environment and to, like, look at Chuck Norris and go, yeah, you don't look so tough. Because I heard a lot of memes about that guy.
Mm.
It looks pretty frail to me.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, we often, especially as young people, a lot of us, certainly in the kind of industries and, like, doing theatre and everything, people all want to be famous and want to make it and want to be beloved by many. Even on small scale, I think no matter what you're doing, whether you want to be known for your drawing or for your podcast or whatever, you know, Dungeons and Dragons has been going better than any of the other ones. And you think, oh, okay, you know, maybe someone will be a listener that will come out of the blue. And that's exciting. And then you realize, like, how fantasy and fiction all those things are. Because Finn Jones really hit me when we came in on the Saturday.
Mm.
Because you look at Finn Jones, and this is a guy who has been in Game of Thrones, and he's a Marvel character who has his own Netflix series plus a crossover series with everybody else.
Mm.
And not only that, he's just like this young, good looking, in shape dude. And we've heard him talk before. He's like a smart dude, charismatic dude. And he's sitting there with no line on his phone. And you think, what does it fucking take to have people excited to see you in the world?
And that's the thing. Like, when he came last time, it was exactly the same. But at that point, he'd only been in Game of Thrones. And, you know, I guess I don't really know how much I thought that the Iron Fist TV series was going to boom his fandom, but not at all, it would seem. Not at all.
But isn't there even just a visceral level of young girls or guys going like, wow, this is a hot celebrity who's in involved in franchises I like. Like, granted, his character, his role in things like Game of Thrones, he's not going to be anyone's favourite. Iron Fist is not going to be anyone's favourite defender.
Mm.
But by the same token, like, he's part of something really big.
Mm.
And you think, shit, if that good-looking young dude is sitting there without, like, I don't know, what is the fantasy of fame?
The thing with him specifically, though, is he, I got his autograph last time, and he just wasn't, like, that engaging when he got up to the desk. Like, a lot of them are, kind of, they want to engage you and have a chat and all that sort of stuff, and he's just kind of, like, sign your thing, okay, have a nice day, bye. And it's like, well,
do you reckon that's insecurity on his part?
Oh, like, maybe, but I don't know. I feel like maybe if you have people kind of hanging around at your desk a little bit more, then other people will be like, oh, okay, maybe we'll go and have a chat to that guy sort of thing. But if you feel like you're just being punted through when there's literally no line, like when I went and got my stuff signed, there was kind of no one there and I was the only person there and he was still like, okay, yeah, great, bye. And
yeah.
It's like, oh, what are you doing? What are you doing?
Well, let's use that to segue into the only panel we went to, and I'm a bit sad we missed Chuck Norris's because apparently it was a
train wreck.
A bit of a train wreck, and I kind of would have liked to have seen that. But we went to Brandon Routh's, and he as well, like, he strikes me as a pretty personable dude. He seems really nice. He seems like he'd be fun, someone that would be fun to interview. But there was a sort of reservation about him, not in terms of, like, his confidence on stage, but for me, just his ability to go into any meaningful depth. Like, he didn't have that comfort where he was going to give anything other than a surface level answer to anything. He talked very early on about comedy being something that he's very much interested in above all other things. And I think he's funny as fuck in things like Scott Pilgrim.
Mm.
But he's not a funny presence on stage. He's not someone...
He's not like Billy Boyd or someone like that who just riffs.
Yeah, someone who's going to get up and tell a story and make you laugh and who controls the room. Because you see those seasoned people get a dodgy question and people are going to give them shithead questions. And they go, oh, yeah, no, I don't really know anything about that. But I will tell you about the time when, and they tell a completely different story that they wanted to tell. And they get hold of it again and they make it entertaining. And he didn't seem to be on that level. But
I think he did actually do a pretty good job. Like, for the most, probably the first half of that panel, I was thinking, well, look, you know, these questions are really varied. People are asking about a lot of different franchises. I was worried that it was all going to be like Legends of Tomorrow and stuff like that because I don't watch that. But people were kind of asking about a whole bunch of different things and I felt like his stories were interesting. Like, even these things that I haven't seen, I was really interested in his stories about them. But then there were a couple of shithead questions and I felt like that almost rattled him a little bit and the vibe was just not quite there for the second half of the panel, which is such a shame. Like, they're screening these questions. Like, just don't let people say dumb shit to the celebrities. Like, it's so just counterintuitive.
I couldn't go into another panel after that, to be honest. Like, it would just, I was cringing and I was cringing on a weird sort of cultural kind of level of that sort of, oh, Brandon, have you got any interesting antidotes about, you know, all that stuff? Or have you eaten a Tim Tam or had some Vegemite while you're here? I'm Reg from Bugger Fuckaroo, you know? Like, yeah. And that's the other thing about this illusion of fame and what would happen, because that is the audience.
Mm.
I mean, that is the wide sampling of the people that love fiction. I'm in a really weird mood today, but I think because we're going to talk about Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom as well, that I'm just at this point this week where I'm feeling really fatigued by fans of things and audiences of things and the, like, just entitlement and kind of negativity and assumed support for those negative opinions. Like, the way that nerds constantly talk about the most hive mind internet opinions about things and introduce it as though it's the first time you've heard it in 10 years or however long this thing has happened.
Mm.
and then expect that you're going to, like, just yes and them and agree with them about their revelatory statement that Jar Jar Binks wasn't a popular character or something just continues to astound me. Like, that guy, we were looking at some Ninja Turtle figures and this,
I had to walk away from this conversation. I was like, I know what is coming and I need to not be part of this.
And this guy, like, started complaining about the new style of the new Ninja Turtles cartoon and how, and this is a, like, a guy who's probably in his, like, 30 and how it was wrecking it, and this sort of, like, oh, you know, we're going to be shocked as well about how this thing looks. I don't give a fuck how that thing looks, because I'm not going to watch it.
No.
And he's like, there's only one, and I said, like, don't stress too much, because, you know, within 2 years it'll be a different version, and it's been that, like, that for 30 years. And he's like, no, there's only, and his friend as well, no, there's only one real Turtles. And that was the original comic plus the, you know, and I love the original comics too, but, like, there's 30 odd years of history after that. And Kevin Eastman and Peter Laird, who created it, they sold it so that people could do whatever the fuck they want with it. They don't care. And that's how things survive that long, is they just keep, like, you know, Batman and Superman, everyone are the most fluid fucking characters in the world. You know, people that think that these characters have integrity, you haven't seen them sell enough, like, Twinkies or whatever in comic book pages. Like,
I mean, just this year, wasn't there a Ninja Batman movie?
Yeah. Like, they're fluid. They're fluid. It's just people playing around. In fact, this is a great segue into what I wanted to talk about news-wise.
Mm-hmm.
I just mentioned that, and then we can go back to Supernova. That's fine. But I just got this note here, and you're probably thinking, why do I want to talk about Looney Tunes? And it's because of, I don't know if you heard about this new 1,000 minutes of animation thing. Have you heard about this?
No.
I think this is fucking brilliant, and it ties into this turtle thing, the Star Wars thing, everything we're going to talk about today. And that is this idea that Warner Brothers are saying, all right, we want to do more Looney Tunes, but they've tried to make them cool before. We've all seen, like, T-shirts and things of them playing basketball with backwards baseball caps and all that sort of shit. They've tried to reformat the shows or whatever. But anyone who was a real fan of Looney Tunes growing up, and it's an older generation, probably were introduced to them with those 3-minute shorts. And so that's what they're going back to.
Yeah.
They're going to do these 3-minute shorts. They're committing to 1,000 minutes of animation, but they're giving it to a whole range of varied artists and animators.
That's good.
And letting them all do their own shorts in their own style, however they want.
Yeah, that's cool.
Which suddenly is so amazing to me, because then you're going to see these iterations from people that have grown up on that stuff or have been influenced by that stuff, but they're going to make it fresh. They're going to bring in their own style. And if you don't like something, that's fine. There's another one around the bend. But the idea is that out of that 1,000, there's going to be some cool things in there that and also are going to be produced by the people that love that stuff. And for me, that's the really important things, because those people there that are just saying, oh, no, there's only one Ninja Turtles, it's that. Like, that idea of just closing off all these doors and taking away all these options. You don't have to like all the versions, but, like, what a great fertile playground to just go in there and do whatever. And I don't understand why Marvel and DC as comic companies don't just exclusively do that as well with their comics, to just go, this next 12 issues of Spider-Man, we've given it to these people and they can do whatever the fuck they want. And they're not at all burdened by continuity. If they want to have Venom in it or whatever, that's fine. If they want to show the origin of Venom, that's fine. Whatever they want. But then at the end of that, these people are going to do it. Because when you think about, like, the best Superman stories of all time, things like that, people bring up Red Sun, or with Batman, Dark Knight Returns and The Killing Joke, things that were outside of the burden of continuity. So why not just play in that arena? And I feel like that's what they wanted to do with Star Wars as well, to go, you've got all these directors and some of the, like, most interesting directors and writers and things that are working in Hollywood today. They all, like, it's almost impossible to be a filmmaker without being influenced by Star Wars at some point. You can't have been a kid at a certain age and not been influenced by Star Wars, in the same way that how can you be an animator and not have been influenced by Looney Tunes at some point or another? That's when they go, okay, Richard Marquand, who did Logan, we're going to give you a Boba Fett movie and see what you do. And I want to see that. I want to see his take. I want to see what he does with that. And now, because of Solo's backlash from more entitled nerds that want to just close off doors and want to say, no, I just want to see the same thing that I've always seen. We're not going to have those. They're putting them all on hold. And I guess, you know, that's the bottom line, because you can take the online comments however you want, but the money is the important thing, and not enough people supported it. So that's a real bummer. So I wish people were more open-minded and were able to get that enjoyment out of the things that they supposedly love. Not that you would know it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's definitely a bummer that they've shelved them. I doubt they will have shelved them indefinitely. I think maybe they're just taking stock of what they're doing. And I think people have been saying that maybe there is a little bit of Star Wars fatigue, and I can't completely disagree with that. Even as someone who does love Star Wars, there just seems to be just a lot of Star Wars all the time. And
but that, I don't buy that fatigue thing. I think that's like nonsense. It's like having, if we go back to the food analogy, food fatigue. It's not about that. Like, we're always going to have entertainment. We're always going to be seeking entertainment. It's about the quality. Marvel, occasionally people, well, you remember when Homecoming came out, and that was really good, but people were like, oh, I don't know, I've got Spider-Man fatigue, I don't know if I'll see this. And then when people saw it, they were like, oh, this is great. If it's great, your fatigue goes very quickly. You know what I mean? If it speaks to you and you enjoy it. But the problem is that people are going, I'm fatigued, and they're not going to see it. But then at the same time, the world's able to cope with 3 Marvel Studios movies a year, plus whatever Fox Marvel movies or Sony Marvel movies are doing extra. We're fine with that. And they're not all winners. Like, you know, we had a run of going, oh, yeah, you know, we're relatively under, you know, in the middle of the road with this movie. And then Infinity War comes in and suddenly it's like, great, give me the next one. And that's all it takes sometimes. And I've heard people just recently on Facebook who have finally seen, you know, people that are similar to an age of me, maybe a bit younger, who grew up on Star Wars, who, you know, for the first time didn't rush to the cinema and see this thing at midnight on the opening night. I'm only just seeing it now, like a month after, and going, oh, yep, that's like my favorite Star Wars movie since Return of the Jedi. And it's like, there will be other people, if they actually went and saw it, that would feel the same thing. Plus, when you get to the end of it, you go, oh, fuck, there's a really interesting sequel that can spin off this because of the character that's revealed. And I almost want them to, I'm not going to spoil it here, but I almost want them to spoil it in an ad, just to go, look, let's cut our losses. Let's do an ad for Solo, which a new TV spot, which shows that character and lets people know how we're actually opening up this universe and how we're going to move forward, even though we're backward. And I mean, look, I can understand that they're going to focus instead on Rian Johnson's trilogy and the Game of Thrones guys trilogy, and I guess move forward and not go backwards with the legacy characters. But at the same time, how the fuck is Rian Johnson going to get a fair shake with, like, what he's doing in terms of all those vocal people? They're going to be so ready to shit on him, and it's just fucked.
It's going to be lose-lose for him with what he does for the next one. Like, anything he does won't be good enough.
Yeah, and this idea of this, what's this petition they're going to remake Last Jedi? I really hope so they pathetic. Do it, because you know it's going to be such a fucking dumpster fire. And that's something that, even with the prequels, when people were so angry about it and said, oh, this was shit, but then they would talk about some novel, like, that was just fucked. Or you would see their fan films and they're always just atrocious, and you think, Christ, like, is that what you want things to actually be like? Because that's insane. And then you think about the sorts of people, and that's going back to Supernova, I'm segueing back for you, the sorts of people that ask these crazy questions or share their unwanted opinions. And unfortunately, a lot have that, especially when you see them in person, because I'm sure these are the people that are pissing me off with their comments online as well. You see that sort of social awkwardness and everything in person, and you realize these aren't people that are creative people or critical people. That it's just this really base reaction.
They're reactionary people.
Yeah, and you go, well, this is the reality. This is who it is. And that, for me, being all philosophical and kind of existential here, is a bit of a downer in terms of creating things, because you realize that ultimately they are the barrier. That is your obstacle. They're the gatekeepers. And you think, I just look around there, even with things like Dungeons and Drongos, which is so base in terms of, and broad in terms of the humor and everything. I look around a room like that full of fans and I just think, who would, I don't know who here would even appreciate that. Like, you realize what a small target you have. And as for this show, fuck knows who's going to appreciate this, like what I'm doing now.
Hello to our three listeners this
week.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I mean? It's a bummer to say, because I, like you said, I had a great Supernova, especially today. It's a lot of fun, but like it's a fucking hard industry.
Yeah. Nothing makes me feel more down about nerds than being around a whole lot of nerds. And nothing makes me feel fucking older than being at a convention like this, because it is full of anime things that I do not understand and I feel like an elderly.
Yeah.
And that makes me feel bad.
Yeah, and I feel that way with the... I think that's the thing, like, it's... Maybe it's a lack of self-awareness in that critical thinking. I know we're going to go into this when we talk about Jurassic World, but just that idea that people act like something is so terrible and it's just the worst thing ever, but then are totally oblivious about their own guilty pleasure, you know, Arrow and stuff shows.
Riverdale.
Which are pulpy soap opera-y things. And my point is, though, that they're enjoyable and like anything. And it's become clearer and clearer to me how... useless, which this sounds very self-sabotaging considering that we make time to do this every week, but just how absolutely fucking useless hearing someone else's opinion on something is for the most part, like a critic. Oh,
absolutely, yeah.
Because as we've said, and if you look at what we've enjoyed, mostly it comes down to your connection with...
the property.
The property, or a character even.
Mm.
Like, you're just ability. So if you're loving Riverdale, and I quite enjoy Riverdale, it's because I'm liking those characters. I'm enjoying the sort of trashiness of it. I'm enjoying the over-the-topness of it. And I know, you know, I don't watch Arrow. I'm not into that. But I can absolutely understand why people would be, because it's just one of those things. And it's a way that you all... connect as well with other fans.
It's the same with like Supernatural back in the day. Like, I at the moment, like now, I would not touch Supernatural with a 10-foot pole, but back in the day it was like this wonderful little community, and all my friends watched it, we all get together and watch it, and it was great. But then once you get out into the larger fan community on the internet, I wish to have no part of that.
You know, you're right, because I'm being really naive here, because I guess my initial bringing that up was this idea of how can you just hate all the Star Wars and everything else and then be a fan of some, you know, and say that it's of a bad quality, but then be a fan of something like Arrow. But of course, I'm sure if we were aware of the Arrow community, their forums and stuff are probably absolutely filled with negativity. And that's actually, isn't that
there's it? a lot of shows like that have genuine, because like you go on Tumblr and you see shit, and there is so much negativity in those communities, but it's all about, like, shipping stuff. Like, they get so intense over who's with who, and, like, oh, and I'm just like, oh, my God, what the fuck? And, like, some of these people are adults, and I'm just like, do you not have other things to channel your energy into than having shipping flame wars? Like, what are you doing?
I was thinking about this yesterday in terms of that nerd community seems... like, whenever they take something fun and that everybody enjoys, there's this weird desire to create a set of rules around it, to almost, like, gamify it by putting in all these obstacles and restrictions about what it is, how it works, what it can and can't be. And I'm not just even talking movies, like, in terms of, okay, you make a new Star Wars, it has to fit in these parameters. I mean absolutely every aspect of that culture. So, like, if you look at the evolution of cosplay at these cons, and this idea of people would buy a costume or would throw something pretty mild together, and a lot of cosplayers have shared their pictures on Instagram and stuff of, this was my first Supernova, this is my current one, and the lifting qualities are massive. But then suddenly there becomes this real bitchiness and judgmental thing about, buying a costume as opposed to making it, and you did this and you should have done that. And suddenly this thing that was fun becomes all created by these rules. And it's hard to figure out. I don't think any one person's responsible. It's just this weird snowballing, because you speak to any individuals and they seem to be like, oh God, I want to avoid all that. But at the same time, it just perpetuates. And Dungeons and Dragons is another one. Like the absolute sort of rule Nazism and, oh my God, I can't believe that you did that kind of thing. And just that constant barrier of almost stopping any fun from being had. And you think, when you're looking at a group of people that were initially quite marginalized anyway, this idea of creating further hoops to jump through is nuts to me. In the same way that, like, fuck, is this almost just like you can't get away? It's like the sort of dogma surrounding religion almost, isn't it? Like, we all like this same thing, so, okay, no eating fish on this day, and you got to do this, and you got to do that, and you can't do this. And, like, are we just, no matter what, always going to start doing that to ourselves? Because I feel like all that stuff gets in the way of actually enjoying things for what they are, and that's a big problem. Anything else about Supernova?
Well, yeah, like we better talk anything actually talk about Supernova. About like, Supernova. Jesus Christ.
Well, that's what I thought about with Supernova.
So, yeah, like I think with Supernova, every single year, this happens every single year, Saturday Supernova is like, oh, I fucking hate conventions. Conventions are the worst. And then Sundays are like, oh, actually, we quite like conventions and conventions are really fun. So, yeah, Saturday went through. It was packed. It was just so crazy. And I didn't buy much. You bought some Ashley Wood things yesterday and today.
Yeah. Who I love. He's amazing. 3A Toys. Google it. That's the thing. That's why I'm not talking about that stuff, because I bought some cool stuff.
Yeah.
I like it. But I don't know. Like, what can people get from that?
And yeah, we went to the one panel. I mostly enjoyed that panel. That was fine. There, as I said, there was no one that we were really like super interested in seeing, so that's why we didn't go to many panels. I wanted to buy some art from local artists this year, and I did. I bought quite a few pieces, and some of them are probably my favourite things that I bought at the convention. But probably my favourite thing from the convention, which happened in probably like the last, I don't know, 20 minutes or so before we left, there was this stupid little shooting gallery thing with these Nerf guns and these cans, and you'd shoot down the cans and win a prize, you know? And I went up, and the guy was like, oh, it's $10 for 6 bullets. I'm like, oh, God, what a fucking ripoff. This is bullshit. But I did it, and there was, like, 5 of us, and I nailed it. I won. It went down to sudden death because there was a draw, but don't worry, guys. I got this.
I knew you were going to do it. Like, we saw you shoot last holidays, shooting real guns.
Yeah.
You were very, very good at it. And I think that you may be bullseye.
Yeah.
And I mean, shoot guns.
I'm not about to shave my head.
I've seen you do some archery. And yes. I think you should experiment. I think a great thing you can do at home is start throwing playing cards.
Okay.
Gambit style.
Yep.
I also think throwing knives wouldn't be a bad idea.
All right.
And actually, even though we were being very philosophical and existential about guns as well, we're planning to go shooting again these holidays, just so that you can...
I just need to make sure that it wasn't a fluke.
Yeah, I don't think it is after today.
Yeah, to be fair. Oh, and I won a... we could pick whatever toy we wanted, and I chose a sexy Idris Elba wildebeest from Zootopia. So I'm very, very happy with the spoils of war.
Yeah.
But, weird thing was, like, I'm watching the other people shoot and they were not getting anywhere near these cans. And I'm like, I'm not doing anything special. Maybe
what you think, but that's because it's an innate mutant power.
Yeah, maybe. I was pretty good at it. I think the first two or three, I absolutely nailed the cans, and because I was sort of in the zone, and then I went, oh, hang on a minute. I'm actually doing quite well here. And then I lost it for a bit. And, but yeah, I got it in the end.
No, very, very impressive.
Natural talents kick back in. But that was pretty good fun. I kind of like, I was getting enraged because I was missing, and then it became less of a competition and more of a, I'm going to win this or I'm going to burn this to the ground. I started getting like the adrenaline kicked in, and I started having like the little bit of shakes towards the end, but I was like, fuck you, I'm winning this. Yeah.
Mm.
It was an intense about 30 seconds when we were going through the sudden death, but very good fun. Very good fun.
Speaking of guns, just very, very quickly, this is my Netflix pitch. I would like to see a show, dystopian show, where because Americans are so convinced they need guns to protect themselves because there's predators everywhere, that only women are allowed to carry guns. Mm-hmm. I think that would be amazing. So men are not allowed to carry guns. But if America is convinced that guns need to be there to protect people if shit goes down, only give them to women.
Mm-hmm.
Because then women won't get preyed on as much. And just think of the fashion. It would be fucking amazing, like, if you're at a Met Gala and Scarlett Johansson is accessorizing, like, an M16, like, strapped to her back or has it built into, like, a handbag or something like that. I think that would be amazing. So, yes.
Fancy Givenchy thigh holsters.
Fuck, it would be so amazing. Mm. And I think, like, you know, women have that. Like, you don't fuck with a mother bear looking after her cubs or whatever. You need, like, someone to police stuff. And then, like, if a man picks up a gun, you just assume that he's hostile,
mm-hmm.
and everyone starts shooting.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, that fixes this whole, but we need guns. We need guns. We got to have guns to protect us from the bad guys. Great. But give them to women. Oh, and speaking of going back to Supernova,
mm-hmm.
very impressed to see Handmaid's Tale.
On the Saturday, yeah.
And today there were two.
Oh, was there? Okay, yeah, I didn't see them
cosplay,
today.
So, yes, that is a very sobering reminder to the young men who might have been a bit hormonal at all the Harley Quinn flesh out there. There were some handmaids to keep everyone in check.
Yes, yes. I feel like a lot of the Deadpools probably needed that reminder.
I think so, too. Anything else about Supernova? Chocolate banana?
No, you know, we weren't going to go back on the Sunday, but we ended up kind of at the last minute deciding to go because there was a couple of things that I, you know, I hadn't sort of done or looked at properly. And one of those things was like these chocolate coated strawberries they had. And that was one of the first things I got. You know what? It was shit. They were frozen. And like the strawberries were still a little bit frozen. I'm like, I've paid $5 for chocolate coated.
Fuck me.
Strawberries. How disappointing. And that's how I have started my day. But thankfully, it was up from there.
If you're a first time listener, you're probably wondering what the fuck we're doing here. We are going to review Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom
eventually
because we did watch that. Just wanted to briefly mention, can I move on to trailers?
Yes.
We did see the trailer for Welcome to Marwen. This is the Steve Carell film, directed by Robert Zemeckis, Roger Rabbit fame. Yeah.
Based on a true story, I believe.
Yeah, so what's the deal with this?
Steve Carell is a chap who is very invested in those sort of 1/6 military figures and likes to take photos of them and collect them and all that sort of thing. He gets beaten up at a bar by some Nazis or something and sustains some head injuries and isn't able to, like, do the fine detail painting and all that stuff. And it starts to kind of his dolly world and his real world kind of starts to bleed together.
Very relatable.
Yeah, and there's some really nice shit in this trailer. I had not heard anything about this movie, and so watching this trailer, going completely cold, and I loved the look of this thing.
Lots of CGI animated doll versions of the actors.
Yeah, there's like Janelle Monáe
and Leslie Bibb.
Yeah,
running around and doing things, and looks quite pleasant. So always nice when something new pops up on the radar that you weren't expecting, and we'll look at that. Even though the title is fucked.
I think Marwen's like the little, his little world. I don't know if that's like Marwen's an actual thing, but it's the little world that he created for his dollies.
We had to look it up before we started talking about it. So
every time I thought of that title, all I could think was like, "Welcome to Marowak."
And that's a Pokemon.
That is a Pokemon, and so that's it's not a great title.
Call it Dollyland. Solved.
Okay.
Easy. Solved your problem, Carell. All right. Can we talk about Jurassic World : Fallen Kingdom?
Let's do it.
The internet seems really pleased with itself for punching up and down and around. Lots of critics taking big old shits on Fallen Kingdom.
There was this weird couple of posts that I saw, like people being happy that it was at like 50% or something on Rotten Tomatoes. And I'm like, why do you care? Like, why do you care at at all.
Well, we went and saw it Friday night. Yes. And not really with high expectations at all.
And it was like late at night. It was Friday. We've been at work all day. And I thought it was going to be a struggle to get through this thing.
And we fucking loved it.
Oh, it was so fucking good.
And got really pumped. It was really entertaining. It was a lot of fun.
It was so much fun.
It was really fun. Like, it's not a great movie story-wise or anything, but the action beats are solid. The dinosaurs are cool. I like looking at the actors in it. It was fun. I had a really fun Friday night watching this thing.
Yeah, and like that, the start is so solid. Like, it is so, they're going back to the island to retrieve something, and I was just like, oh, shit, yeah. But, I'd heard all these negative reviews, and I was kind of waiting for it to start to fall flat a little bit and for me to be a little bit less interested, but that never really happened, because every time I was a bit like, oh, maybe it would, like, bang into the next thing, and then, you know, all these great action sequences, there's, like, all these dinosaur fights and all this crazy shit going on, and it was just fun. Like, it's as dumb as a box of bricks, but god damn it, did I have a good time. And I had this massive grin on my face when it finished because I was just like, more. Give me more.
Yeah. But again, doesn't this go back to that idea of if there's something in there that ingratiates you? Like, okay, you like dinosaurs to begin with. So that's a start. And then it's fair to say you enjoyed Chris Pratt in this.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And I like Bryce Dallas Howard, so that was really good. I mean, her character's not much of a muchness, but I really like it. She's a charismatic person. Mm. I like watching her. That helps. And then bloody Zia with the pink... Bryce Dallas Howard comes on the screen, and I'm like, oh, I forgot how much I like Bryce Dallas Howard. Mm. This is great. And then a second later, there's the new assistant person that's helping her, and she's got... It's Daniela Padeka or something... But she's got, like, short black hair. She's got pink plastic glasses, tattoos. She looks like I designed her in a character creator in a video game. Just perfect. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I get both of this in this film. Mm. This is great. So I was really enjoying that. But that's it, isn't it? Like, you've got to find that thing that you enjoy. Mm. Like, you couldn't find that in Solo, that thing where you just went, oh, I'm having so much fun. Yeah. This is a blast. Whereas I did. Like, I really just came out of Solo going, wow, this is so great. I had so much fun. And, yeah, I don't know, like, why... It makes me sad that people have lost that where they kind of come into a film ready to sneer at it. Like, there's films that I'm going to watch this year. Like, if we end up seeing fucking Skyscraper, that... I know I'm probably not going to enjoy, but I'm going to sit down there hoping that it changes my mind because I want to have fun.
Mm.
And, like, even if it's dumb fun, like, what was that fucking dumb weather movie we saw?
Geostorm.
Yeah. Geostorm. That is a really shitty film, but I had fun. Yeah. Like, we had fun, and it wasn't like... Oh, Wesley was smarter than Geostorm because we picked a hole in the... It was just like you're just watching it and having fun.
And there's so many holes in Jurassic World. Like, honestly, well, I'm sitting there going, oh, that wouldn't work like that. But you know what? I don't even care.
Yeah. And there's an interesting thing going on here. Obviously, no spoilers. But I think there's something about the plot in Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom where you kind of go, all right, they're dipping back into this well. And it makes me feel at the time like there's not much juice left in this franchise if they're going back to the well already. Like, you're thinking this is kind of a closed door because in a way it's Home Alone syndrome, isn't it? You can't have a Home Alone movie unless the fucking idiot parents leave him home alone again.
Yep.
And you think, well, Jurassic Park, everyone's always going, well, why did you fucking do that in the first place? Like, they want a movie where the park just gets shut down in the first 20 minutes and the movie's over. And it's always going to be, well, we knew we shouldn't fuck around with dinosaurs, but we meddled with them anyway. And oh, fuck, here comes the problems. So you kind of feel like it's a closed loop. And you think, you're watching it thinking, this is fun, but I can't imagine how we can really... sustain this much longer. But the ending for me, they did the perfect thing, the most perfect thing they could have done, and have created an environment where going forward they have so much more freedom than they ever have had before. Like, these movies can go in a completely different direction now. And it actually made me excited to see another one. And I really hope they do another one, because I think they left it at the most interesting place they could have.
Mm.
And it made me less picky about this particular storyline. I actually began to appreciate the fact that this is a bridging storyline in a trilogy. This is taking as, like, if you look at the first Jurassic World and then this one, they're all working to take us to the point where this one ends.
Yeah.
And everything about this movie is moving around the pieces in the game so that they can get to that endpoint. And I think it's hard because that endpoint for me is so full of potential and so interesting. I don't begrudge them getting there.
Mm.
And I think people as well, you have to remember now, like, these franchise movies, they're big budget TV. That's all it is. This is just a new episode of this Chris Pratt dinosaur show.
Mm.
And if I watched this on TV as a new episode of a Chris Pratt dinosaur show, I would think it was rad.
Mm.
So that's all these are.
Yeah, and I think the people that are bitching about this movie, like, I want to know how long it's been since they've watched Jurassic Park 2 and 3, because I bought them all on Blu-ray within the last couple of years and I rewatched them, and, like, they're not bad. There's some good moments, but they're just not fun.
I don't think people have ever, like, lauded Jurassic Park 3 especially, or 2. Like, 2's always been snarky even when it came out.
Yeah, but they, you know, people are acting like these are the worst things ever, and at least they're bringing something that those sequels never did. Yeah,
but people, like, as well, it's that sort of really, again, it's not critical thinking. Like, if you hear people talk about Jurassic Park 2, it's like, oh, it's bad because she was a gymnast. You know, that stuff's dumb. But that's like, you know, again, Crystal Skull sucks because there were CGI monkeys. It's like, no, you don't understand, like, the mechanics of that film. Mm. That's not why it's bad.
Mm. And I mean, really, it's like, and I'm going to talk about this a little bit with my Watch Challenge movie this week, but people will tolerate a franchise like Fast and the Furious going from a really grounded start point to just this completely wacky, just bonkers, over-the-top shit. They'll accept that there, but put it into any other franchise and they're like, no, this is too much. Yeah. No, I don't like it.
But that's where I think criticism's just bullshit. Like, no, I think real criticism, like almost like literary criticism, film criticism, actually taking these works and pulling them apart and going, well, why does this work? Or why did they make this choice? And what does this do? I think is really interesting. Or what is Fast and the Furious even like culturally? Like, you know, what are the attitudes in the world that mean something like this is popular and gets created? I think all of that has merit. But that is really just examining the mechanics as opposed to going, this is good or bad, which is what most, in fact, in a post Rotten Tomatoes world, that literally is what we're looking at. Is it good or is it bad? Oh, no, it's bad. As opposed to, is there any merit there? But we're guilty of this too, in a way. I was thinking about this because I'm willing to go on that ride with Jurassic World because I just like the things that are in there. Mm. And so I'm not putting that critical eye on the story as much. And in fact, apart from me appreciating that, I think it serves a purpose. But then I think about things that I've been more dismissive about, like Girls Trip, for example.
Mm.
And you think there are people, of course, that absolutely fucking love that movie, that love those characters, that related to those characters, that were so, like, just enjoyed that so much. And that is so valid. And my opinion on that doesn't mean shit. Like, it's not useful. And that's what I mean. Like, in terms of everybody's, apart from the ability to be able to go, I think there's a trend in these comedies where the characters are all act atrociously and then get their little redemption moment at the end or whatever. But that's more of an overall thing. It's not specifically about that film. So that's why I think to put those good, bad judgments on these things are kind of crazy, because there's always someone that's going to love the shit out of it. And we are certainly, and I guess that's why you've got to find the critics that you like and that you trust.
Yeah.
We are certainly engineered towards certain things. Like, I'm always going to love the Star Wars. It's going to be very hard for me not to.
Mm.
Because they're right in my wheelhouse. But with that in mind, for me, that makes the whole newspaper style critic and all your top critics on Rotten Tomatoes and stuff even less reliable, because these are people, once it becomes a job, you're obliged to see everything, including the things that you really are never going to connect with, because it's impossible for everybody to connect with everything. So there's people that are going to be writing about how Jurassic World should be extinct and it's a piece of shit, or Solo's a piece of shit, or whatever, that never were going to be able to find their way into that, but have to see it because it's the big movie. But the thing is, the you can say, oh, that's just one person's opinion, but in Rotten Tomatoes world, the influence that has and the way that that has a ripple effect to creating people's impressions of things is actually really, like, damning now. Things are either good or they're bad, and that's it. And we've seen it happen in, probably even worse in video games. Like, their scoring system now, if you're a AAA game and you get less than, like, a 9, even less than an 8 or something, you know, like a 7.5 in video games is, like, a failure. And the developers get, like, paid incentives and stuff for their, like, Metacritic rating. You know, and they're seeing it happen with films, and it's like...
Yeah, I hate Rotten Tomatoes. Whenever I see, like, a DVD cover or something that has, like, a Rotten Tomatoes rating, I just cringe, because it's just the fucking dumbest shit. I hate it. Like, everything is... like, the world is not black and white. Movies are not a black and white binary thing. Like, I think everything has merit in some respect. Like... you know, I was going back on a bit of a nostalgia kick this week, and I went back and watched, you know, both Young Guns movies that I really loved as a kid, and God, they're not good, but there was just something about both of them that I just really loved and appreciated because, yeah, one, they were such a part of my childhood, but there are just little things in there that just made me go, oh, good, these are like good, fun westerns, and I really like them, but are they good movies? Not really, but there's still that... there's still something to like in nearly everything, I think.
Yeah, I guess I bring it all up just to, in the sense that I want to sort of pledge to be like a better critic, I guess, to sort of be able to either find the fun or the enjoyable things. Because I understand, like, if you're, if you've got franchise fatigue, if you're sick of Jurassic Park, just don't see it. Like, but you don't have to convince everyone that it's bad or to take pleasure in it or to badmouth it. Like, if you're a guy that doesn't like the look of the new Ninja Turtles, don't take it personally. It just, it's, this one's not for you. Like, just relax, just stay out of it. Like, you know, I was a big Turtle fan and original comics reader as a kid, and if they do something that appeals to me and that makes me go, oh, I'm keen for that, I'll go check that out, then I will. But if they don't, like, the world keeps turning, and I hate people wanting things to fail, and I hate that negativity. I'm seeing that even on blogs that I used to read that were quite nice and quite positive, where they're things like, you know, 10 reasons, 10 things that Solo gets wrong, or 10 reasons why the new Jurassic World doesn't work or whatever. And it's
because,
like,
it's easier to shit on things than be positive about them. That's, like, that's what it boils down to. Like, it, people feel like they're bringing something new to the table when they find something new to pick on.
But they're not creative. Like, be a fucking creative person, or just, I don't know. It's just, it's rude. It's rude. Because, like, they're creative people out there actually doing stuff and fucking... making things, and it's like, and I know there's money and all these other reasons, I know it's not altruistic, but
it's like going to the artist alley at Supernova and looking at someone's art and then saying to their face, oh, that's shit.
But
why would you
actively dissuade people from liking things? That's crazy to me.
Yeah. Anyway. But yeah, like, I mean, I obviously didn't like Solo, but I never went out there and said, no, don't go and see Solo, it's shit. I was like, hey, if you're interested in Solo, go and see Solo. I don't give a shit what you do. No,
but the thing is, you're not, I never feel like you're influenced by the internet or anything like that. I never hear, like, you're, it's completely valid to not like something. That's the other thing. It's absolutely valid to not like something. Let's talk about Solo. Like, even Last Jedi, you saw it twice.
Yeah.
And you went, no, you know what? This one's just not for me.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
I'm not going to go out there and write essays on how much I hated it. Like, yeah. It didn't hit me, and that's fine, and that's okay.
But I can't, you know, and no one can convince you that it's a good movie if you didn't like it. Like, if you don't like it, or no, I shouldn't say that. Yeah,
I think it's a fine movie that I did not connect with. And it kind of ultimately, I go see Star Wars movies to make me feel good, and it kind of made me feel a bit shitty. And that's, in a very summarized nutshell, is what it comes down to.
That's the thing, isn't it? It's, did you connect?
Yeah.
Did you find a way to connect with it?
Mm.
And people think that if I didn't connect, then it must be a terrible movie. And those people are bumholes. Well, now, ironically, let's segue to our What to Watch challenge, where we do the most half-assed reviews of films. The most dispassionate, half-assed rush through at the end reviews of films. But this is the What to Watch list on Letterboxd. Letterboxd, which is a different film theme each week. This month is sports, and the theme this week was dancing, a dance film. So I know you're an aficionado of the old dance film. So what was left for you to watch that you hadn't seen?
I actually kind of cheated a little bit.
What?
And I picked a film that I have tried to watch many times but have never actually finished.
Oh, that counts, I think.
So, yeah, which people might be surprised. It's the first Step Up movie. Which so, I have never seen.
Ironically, you failed to step up.
Yeah, I did. I actually started. I've started with the second one and went forward from there. And every time I would see a new Step Up movie, Step Up 3D or Step Up Revolution or Step Up All In, I would go back and go, oh, I'll try and watch the first one again. But the problem is that the first one is very earnest and grounded, whereas the other ones take that Fast and the Furious track and they just go, you know what? We don't care about plot. We don't care about acting. We're just going to, like, fucking dance. We are going to Kevin Bacon footloose the shit out of this. And we are just going to basically make these movies that are, like, one big, long music video with this plot that sort of thinly interconnects all these set pieces. And they're fantastic set pieces. And they're basically showcases for So You Think You Can Dance alumni. And I really love this franchise. But anyway, watching this movie away from all those other kind of movies that I do love, I actually managed to get through it this time because I had no, like, oh, that movie was really fun, and then going back to this, like, quite more serious, earnest movie felt like a bit of a bummer. But, no, it's actually not bad. It's, it's little baby Channing Tatum. I think it's probably one of his first roles. And starring opposite a girl who he actually married in the end, Jenna Dewan. They actually very sadly separated this year, but moving on from that, he's a kid from the wrong side of the tracks, and he vandalizes this art school. And to do his community service, they make him, like, you know, be a janitor at the school. Turns out, oh my god, he can dance. Did you know? And then he, like, helps her rehearse for some showcase thing, and then they fall in love, and then they dance, and then, you know, it's actually not that bad, but it's so strange watching this little young baby face, skinny Channing Tatum trying to do ballet. But it was pretty fun. I did actually enjoy it, despite the fact that I've probably tried to watch it four or five times and have not managed to get through it previously.
Well, I watched Black Swan.
Okay.
It's like, how had I missed Black Swan? I just never watched it. And I'm so late to this party that it seems ridiculous for me to, like, come waltzing in now and go, hey, Black Swan's pretty good, y'all. But I love it. Yeah, it was great. It's like such a weird, artsy, interesting, haunting, memorable film with really, like, shocking, visceral imagery, and it's just this great, brave performance by Natalie Portman. And I finally got to see why people said all the things that they said about it.
I think my nan went to see it at the cinema because she thought it was going to be, like, center stage or something like that.
Yeah,
it was not.
No, certainly not.
I don't think she enjoyed it very much at all.
You know, the thing that I found the strangest about it, and this is sort of a bit behind the scenes, but I think that's more interesting at this stage than talking about the film itself, because people know Black Swan. But and if you haven't seen it, see it. It's great. But when I was reading up on it, there seemed to be all this controversy about Natalie Portman not doing all the dancing, and that there was this other woman who had done some of the dancing. And, you know, Natalie Portman won this Oscar and everything, but this other person had done quite a bit of the dancing, and there'd been some face replacement and things like that, and or shots of her legs, and it was like a controversy at the time.
But how else are you expecting it to happen?
I know, and I just thought, that's so crazy, because now that wouldn't be a controversy at all. And I mean, there's quite a few things we've watched.
Like I, Tonya.
I, Tonya, yeah, exactly. Where, and this idea of, oh, but this woman wasn't credited. Like,
I imagine that she probably was in the credits.
Yeah. But like stunt people, you don't go, oh, you know, hang on, yeah. This person's coming up to get the Oscar, but let's not forget that when he rolled out of that car, that was this guy, so... Let him have one, cut off one of the legs of the Oscar and give it to this guy. You know what I mean? Like, that just seems to strike me as really weird. I mean, maybe it was because they'd sort of said, oh, you know, Natalie Portman did a fair bit of dancing in it. And maybe they'd, like, you know, not been clear enough that someone else had done it. But I just think the same with that Battle of the Sexes or whatever. Like,
yeah.
I don't think that was Emma Stone playing tennis the whole time. I'm watching a fucking movie. I don't think Harrison Ford's really shooting a quad laser when I'm watching Star Wars. I wouldn't get angry. I wouldn't ask for, like, a refund.
No, no.
It's movie magic. So, come on, everybody.
I didn't get to the end of Rogue One and be like, that's not Carrie Fisher.
Yeah, exactly.
I demand a fucking refund. Yeah. No, you know. It's so, fine. Everything's fine.
So good on you, Nat. You deserved it. You were great. Loved it. All the stars.
Yes.
And fighting next week.
Yeah, punch movie.
And that's there's a bit of range there, isn't there? Like boxing, but also, you know, mixed martial arts. Lots of choices
there. I think mine's MMA. I'm watching Warrior, which is the Tom Hardy, Joel Edgerton movie.
Oh, okay. I haven't seen that. That sounds interesting.
Yeah, so I'm into that. Oh, and the week after is Racing, which I had some, like, weird Jackie Chan movie that I was going to watch. But then I realised, fuck, I've never seen Speed Racer.
Oh, that's fine.
I'm going to watch Speed Racer. Okay,
well, while we're talking about... Well, that's 2 weeks away.
2 weeks away.
Yeah, I'm going to watch that Chris Hemsworth one.
That one's so good. I love that one. I saw that at the movies. I really enjoyed that.
What's it called?
Rush.
Daniel Brühl. It's got Natalie Dormer in it.
Sure does. Whoa, it's got Natalie. It's got Natalie Dormer's titties. I think it does.
Yeah, it does actually. Yeah. Quite early on as well.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, I'm listening.
with my eyes.
But fighting, I'm doing Southpaw because I like a bit of Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah, right.
And
he's quite meaty in that, isn't he?
Yeah, very meaty, very hairy, meaty man. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So we're watching that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. It's been a very long weekend, guys.
And I'm about to record Dungeons and Drongos for 3 hours. So.
Yeah, have fun. I'm going to go home and, like, have a fucking nap.
I'm going to be doing a lot of improvising and a lot of silly voices and a lot of thinking on my feet.
Yeah, so. Well, there's lots of Red Bull in the fridge downstairs in case you need any help there.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting one.
Yeah.
All right, well, my voice is just breaking. Great.
Yeah, right.
Puberty. Finally. So thanks everyone for listening. You can go to fruitlesspursuits.com to find out everything else that we're doing, including links to other shows like Dungeons and Drongos, which is scheduled to come back on Tuesday after a week's hiatus. And also you can get links to our Facebook discussion group. It's always great to have new members there, and thank you to the people that joined during the week. There were a few. And Patreon, if you really want to support us, because we do this out of the goodness of our hearts, but you could buy us a coffee to keep us awake or something like that. And, yeah, love your bums.
And, oh, God, what's next week? Oh, Sicario.
Is it Sicario next week? Yeah. Sicario 2. Oh, that's exciting.
I'm so hyped for that.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then after that, it'll be Ant-Man and the Wasp.
For that too. Oh, we're coming into a good run.
And we've got Best Friends, the Tommy Wiseau.
Best Friends.
That's coming up as well. So.
Yeah, that's very soon.
Lots of fun stuff, you guys. So don't touch that dial. There isn't even a dial.
No, don't touch the off button. Like, ever. Just leave it on. Running forever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just start when this ends. Go back to the beginning and start listening again.
Until next week when there's a new episode. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Tinkety-tonk.